It is time for Cover Your Assets. It's time to bring in Jim Lynch. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, and he joins us every Tuesday morning, just about every Tuesday morning, and we chat. And we remind everybody that the opinions that are given here are that of myself and Jim, and that they don't necessarily reflect the underwriters, the volunteers, the people who work for us. They are just our own opinions, okay? And they're out there. We put them out there for you to hear. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. I can't complain, actually. Well, I can, but it doesn't do any good because there's so many things going wrong in the world today that our complaints seem rather minor. But we have the president finally tweeting that he lost the election, which is kind of it's not conceding, but he lost the election. But then he after that just mentioned that it was stolen from him. But we are moving on. The Biden team is putting together their office of president elect. They're moving forward, and I guess there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Well,
I know it might be. It might be a train. I understand that. I understand that. But.
Yeah, Trump is certainly doing a great job about clouding the tracks with all of his shenanigans. He continually, till the very end, he's going to make mistakes. The latest one, he now is saying he wants to withdraw troops from Afghanistan. In other countries, against the advice of all his military people. In fact, his Secretary of Defense a month ago sent him a letter that specifies, please don't do this. But whatever, he's doing some of it. He was going to take all of them out. Now he's only going to take maybe half of what's left there. The reason this is very stupid is because he's doing this without having given the incoming president the benefit of the doubt about what's going on there. So he basically just creates another roadblock to getting on with the people's business as positively as we can. Also, he refuses to say a kind word about so many people dying of the virus. And he continues to lollygag and stall on the transition, which makes it difficult, or makes Biden's group less effective, having to give up several weeks' time, maybe even more. So many of the deaths that were on Trump's shoulders for having stalled early on, there continue to be on his hands. And by the way, talking about opinion, the first part of that is not my opinion. The Columbia School, based on the way the government handled the beginning of the virus, has said that 130,000 people died needlessly. That's not my opinion. That's the Columbia University study. As you might know, Columbia is a pretty well-known institution.
Well, that is also backed up by studies done by Johns Hopkins, which has the most accurate count and overseeing of this pandemic of any organization. That's been noted by several different organizations that we're just passing along. When you talk about the final 60 days of Donald Trump, one of the interesting things that propped up yesterday was, yes, of course, removing. I think right now we have 4,500 troops in Afghanistan and another 2,500 in Iraq. It involves removing about 2,500 troops overall, which the Defense Department and even the Republicans in Congress and a lot of people are against. But the thing that I guess that really rattled my cage was the New York Times report. Now, once again, this has not been confirmed yet by to me, I mean, obviously, if the Times put it in, they obviously got a confirmation on the story, and that is of Donald Trump once again raising the question with his Joint Chiefs of Staff about attacking the Iranian nuclear reactor site. That's the more jarring story that has to be watched.
Well, it has to be watched, and as I think you know, I don't know if it was in the story you're referencing, but it was in print, that in the last 2 years, Iran has developed more nuclear fission than it had previously. And also, Iran has managed to circumvent Trump's sanctions, which he put on and then didn't put much energy into administering them. The amount of oil that they're getting out of Iran now is about 1,700 barrels a day, up from 700 a couple of years ago. And the way they're doing that is they're trading some high-octane stuff with Venezuela. They need help in terms of diluting their dirty oil. The Iranians take the oil from Venezuela and they sell it to China. And this is all kind of done under the radar. There are a number of different vessels used by the Chinese and the Iranians, kind of under the cover of night. But when you're on the deep seas or in a major sea or ocean, it's not something you can hide, these big ships. In fact, the Chinese have one that's bigger than our largest aircraft carrier full of oil. So now Trump is saying, oh, those terrible Iranians, we have to invade them. And once again, his policy has failed. His invading them, which he will not do, I don't think, evades his responsibility for turning our ship of state over to the new administration. He's got about 59 days left. What does he think he can accomplish? Plus, I want to tell Mr. Trump something, my opinion. I doubt very much whether the military is going to carry through on anything that he suggests at this time, including the stand down of those troops in Afghanistan. The way it works in the military, they give an order to stand down or come home or whatever. That's given in such a fashion that we're talking a minimum of a month, if not more, before the process even starts. They've got to muster out. They've got to get the equipment. They can't leave valuable stuff there. So I don't think any of this is going to transpire. Meantime, Trump is out looking for a venue when he's through with the presidency, and he's not getting very good results. He approached Newsmax, Chris Ruddy, his old pal, wanting to buy them or try to buy them and have a network. And Ruddy said, ixnay, I'll give you a show. Once a week, you can headline it. Howard Stern, who used to be a friend of Trump's, has come out with some salient comments on his possible future, and he basically says anything he starts in the broadcast business, the network business, he will fail at. He couldn't run the country, so how will he be able to run a network? So, continuing on, Lindsey Graham, I think, according to many people, and it's not my opinion, I'm not a lawyer, do I know the case that clearly, Lindsey Boy basically called up the people of the state of Georgia and said, hey, you know, some of those ballots that you're confused about, why don't you throw them out? Now, he probably just insinuates it, but if proven so, it's a felony. I can only think that Lindsey is really trying to curry favor with Trump because he knows that Trump has something on him with the Russians. I tend to be a good observer sometimes when you give me a lot of examples. And the number of times that Lindsey Graham has played golf one-on-one with Trump soared in the last 9 months. And so they had private time. My suspicion is that Lindsey Graham is up to his eyeballs in having taken money from Russia, and probably in a way that he could be charged. So he's probably looking for a pardon from his esteemed friend Donald Trump.
I have a question, and this is going to regard this is in regards to the election, to the stock market, and to once again, people who wildly speculate that the stock market is an indicator of overall economic health. It is not, is it? It is a day by day indicator, I guess, if you want, of the health of certain members of the stock market, depending on which index you follow. But this morning, the futures market is down almost 300 points in the stock market. And I find that a bit amazing, because the good news that came out yesterday did affect the stock market the way it should be, which is a second COVID-19 vaccine. Has been announced, and both of these vaccines in their tests have been over 90%, where it's worked 90% of the time. One has to be stored at just incredible cold temperatures. The other one does not, just has to be stored where most hospitals and doctor's offices have capabilities to do that. It's still going to take a good, probably till the end of December, for frontline workers to start getting the shots first, and then most of the general public, they'll, from what I guess when I was listening to Anthony Fauci yesterday, after that, sometime beginning in March and April and May, they'll be able to vaccinate 20 to 25 million people possibly a month. Now, my question to you, as somebody who's been involved in stocks and stock market in the financial side, that was your career amongst everything else that you're involved in. I find it interesting that the stock market is so wishy-washy, because normally when you get two announcements back to back on something, especially the COVID-19, which does affect mom and pops, and it affects small families, large families, small businesses, but it also affects big business. Normally, when you get news like that, the stock market stays on a kind of upward trend for 2, 3, 4 days. What's your take of that?
First of all, the background is this is November going on December. There are huge profits in the stock market. People normally adjust at year-end and the beginning of the year, their portfolios. So part of it is that. Number two, the huge rise in the market, it's the fastest turnaround from a bear market to a bull market in 30 years. The last one, I guess, was 1990. The thing is this, the expression free money is a colloquial thing, but really, people who have a lot of money and have connections with banks or large brokerage firms, they're borrowing money at next to nothing, and basically they've been taking that all along and putting it into the stock market. It's particularly attractive. One, they can leverage their portfolio, but two, some of the stocks they can buy, not necessarily the swinging Zoom stocks and so forth, they'll pay a dividend. So very, very cheap money, and a lot of it, and people coming, wealthy investors coming off the big tax cut they got, which created a lot of money, basically has fueled this. And lastly, in my opinion, there's an expression that it sounds kind of trite, but you hear it periodically in the market and in all markets. Sometimes, after long runs, or the expression is very simple: the market's tired. After a while, the market is made up of people buying and selling stocks. They use algorithms and computers, but they're using their brain power, and after a while it gets rather difficult. And finally, the market is overvalued. And this gets to your thought on vaccines. Number one, thank God that we have worked so hard on drug companies here and throughout the world to very quickly develop something which will probably prove to work very effectively. So thank God for that. However, that fact that the vaccine has been coming has been discounted on a number of days in the last 30, 40 days before we even had the concrete information that you're referencing. So I think that's been well advertised now and well discounted. And lastly, in terms of the vaccine, while the vaccine might be 25 million a day, April, May, whatever, that's a might be. I've already listened to people in this field who are most concerned about the way that this vaccine is going to be distributed to the right people, obviously the people who first line of defense and so forth, older people and so forth and so on. But we really, you know, it's not like this is a crate of apples. These are very sensitive materials, and we really don't have it set up yet, which is amazing since Trump and his group have been dealing with the possibility of having a vaccine, and there's no pipeline. So I think the market itself, the stock market, is realizing that. And so you put it all together, there are profits. The market seems tired. It's had a tremendous run. The vaccine is definitely, thank God, coming, but it'll be probably slower than even the most optimistic people. And a lot of the people, a lot of the scientists in the field, they're very concerned on the distribution. Older people should get it. Well, you know, if older people are out in the boondock somewhere, how are we going to get it to them? I don't know. I don't have the answer to it. And that's a simple, you know, question. Certain there are questions are more serious and better than that.
You know, what's interesting about what you're saying is that we're talking right now about vaccinating 320 million Americans, okay? These two companies right,
right
now, these two countries, right, companies right now would be responsible to vaccinate people all over the world. So now you realize the quandary that they're in. Even if another couple of companies come out with vaccines, you're not talking about 100, 200, 300 million. You're talking about billion. And
that's right.
That's when you look at the – and this is – you know, I criticize Big Pharma a lot, okay? I think the way that our country allows Big Pharma to screw people over and with the prices that we have to pay if and the uninsured, it's terrible. But Big Pharma is something that's totally out of anybody's ability to understand how big and how powerful they are. But even as big and as powerful they are, when you're talking about vaccinating a billion people over the face of the planet, that's just think about that for a second, Jim. That's an unbelievable task.
I know. If you're looking for a second, third, fourth, fifth job, anybody, we need people to vaccinate.
Really, it's me. It's amazing.
Well, listen,
yeah, absolutely, it's amazing when you look at it. It's amazing.
It is, and it's amazing. We in this country are in this mess. We didn't have to be here. I look at some of these statistics of deaths in other countries, and our performance. Forget about the total number, the deaths. It's abysmal. But you know, we got to get up. We got to pull up our boots and. We got a new guy coming in. He's got a plan. That's Mr. Biden. He's got his whole group already. They've met a few times.
Jim, you still there?
Bobby?
Okay, now I can hear you. You cut off for a second there.
All right, I'm sorry.
Oh, you cut off again. What are you doing to me here,
okay.
Jim?
Hello?
Are you still there?
Am I here?
Yep. Oh, there we go. Yeah, you cut off again there for a second.
All right. It's in my left ear now. That's the good ear. Okay. The other one has a lot of tin in it. Gives you that tinny sound. Anyhow, we're vaccinating and... back to your point about it. It's a tremendous exercise, but we'll do it. I mean, we'll do it. You know, we won the Second World War. We were down and out with two countries beating our brains in. And we got together and we did it. And we'll do this too. And I think it's very important. The vaccine is something very inspirational, and we should use it to check on our mental vitality. We got to keep that up as we go through the winter so we can be healthy enough to get around to the vaccine and healthy enough to go back to regular living, which eventually will come. It will come.
All right, Jim. It is always great to speak to you. And just remember, the Giants are now 3-3 in their last six games. They're coming on.
You know something I was going to say, but I let you talk there for a while. I was going to say to you, Marshall, you got a little lilt in that voice. It must be the Giants. God almighty.
All right, Jim.
Okay, let's go Giants. Let's go football. Right. See you. Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on Robin Hood Radio. Once again, a reminder of all the opinions you hear on Cover Your Assets are those of myself or Jim, and they do not represent underwriters. The people that are employed here are volunteers, the people who do the programs here. Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on Robin Hood Radio.